Amen. What a beautiful Sunday morning it is this morning. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for coming to the house of God. Thank you for sacrificing and taking the time to be here on a beautiful day to be here. You know, it's supposed to get up to 60 this week. Woohoo! And it's baby dedication Sunday. Woo! So if you're a guest here this morning, you're watching online or you're here in person, we welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. Thank you for taking the time to come and worship the Lord with us. Thank you for all those here for the baby dedication, supporting all the family, all the extended family and ministry that are here in town. Thank you for joining. And hallelujah. There we go. Amen. If you're watching online, there's a bit.ly link that you can please just fill out a few points of information. And if you're here in person, we have a connection card out at the welcome kiosk. If you just fill that out and turn it in, just a few points of information, we'd love to get to connect with you, get to know you. Thank you again for coming out to worship in the Lord. Let's enjoy all the awesome things that God is going to do in baby dedication. And just one thing to all our church family, we have a lot of family here. They'll be taking some photos more than likely after service around the church. And probably please be mindful, no photo bombing this morning. Amen. God bless you.
Whatever happened to bus ministry, if we are to reach them, we must bring them. But tonight, I believe that we need to bring the rubber to the pavement. And we need to be specific about where we're going, because if we're not, we'll never get anywhere. Let's have children's revival centers. If passion for this cause grips the heart of the church, there could be 50,000 to 100,000 children every year baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's have children's revival.
In 2002, former General Superintendent Kenneth Haney had a vision of seeing 1 million children receive the Holy Ghost across the world. What started out as a vision has now become a reality. With 42,000 churches in the UPCI worldwide, if every church had 24 children in 1 year to receive the Holy Ghost, that would be 1 million children. Imagine an army of 1 million children marching into the next generation. Luke says, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Children are a vital part of God's kingdom. Matthew says, "Ask, and you shall receive." A mission this large needs the help of an almighty God, but it is not impossible. With man, it is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. For more information on how you can get involved in children's ministries, visit upcichildrensministries.org. Let's raise up the next generation of the church, one child at a time. 1 million starts with one.
Amen. How many believe in children? Amen. God loves children. I hope we love children. Amen. They're important because they are the next generation. This morning, if you would like to give, either online, you can go to the church website, or if you're here in person, there's a clear plexiglass box out at the welcome kiosk, and feel free to drop your offering in there. Or you can also mail your offering in here to the church at 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin. Or you can text to give. But in your texting or in any of those, if you wanted to go to the video you just saw for Saving the Children, please put in SOC. Amen. Also, one other announcement. March 18th through the 21st, we'll be having a men's ministry, Man Up Campfire. If you'd like to go, please see Jerry or go to the bit.ly link to register for that. Amen. How many know that children are important? That's why we're here this morning, to have this church dedication for these special, precious babies. Again, thank you to all the family and extended family that are here worshiping with us for this special day. It's important to have baby dedications because babies are a gift from God. Amen. And when we read in the Bible, in old times, Hannah prayed fervently for a child. And when God honored her petition, her request, and gave her that child, she dedicated or gave that child back to the Lord. That's why we dedicate children here at Calvary Gospel, because they are a gift from God. God has a purpose for them, and we want to see them grow into that purpose to be all that God called and created them to be. So that's why we dedicate children here. Some people may ask, why do we baptize children? And no, we do not baptize children, because the Bible says that you need to repent and be baptized. A child doesn't really know if they're doing right or wrong. They don't have the concept of sin. And understand, although you may get frustrated with that blowout diaper is not a sin. And sometimes if you let God use it, you can actually reach people. One time we were at a crusade helping in Ohio, and Isaiah was a little bit older than Mariah is now, and he had a blowout, and my wife had to rush him to the restroom to try and get him all cleaned up. And while she was in there cleaning up his blowout, that some people may thought was a sin, but it wasn't. Amen. She was cleaning him up. There was a young lady that came in that wasn't feeling too good, that was kind of to be blunt, she was losing her lunch. And so after Victoria got done cleaning Isaiah up, she handed him to one of our friends, and she went in, she began to pray for that young lady, that God would heal her. And not only did God divinely heal her, God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So sometimes it may be an inconvenience to you, but remember, they're just a baby. And if you give them and dedicate them to God, that blowout can be an anointed blowout, and someone can get the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Got to figure out a way to connect it. So let God use your kids. Amen. And that's one of the reasons why we don't baptize babies. But God is awesome. We have 7 families here this morning being dedicated. We're thankful for each and every one of them. I'm going to call your name, and as I'm calling your name, Pastor Peter's going to hand out a Bible to the family. But we have Brooke and Bryce Grant with Emmett Bishop Grant. We have Spencer and Natasha Hicks with Owen Maximus Hicks. We have Kelvin and Brooke Wells with Sienna Rain Wells. We have Sarah Schlobaum with Samuel Victor Gallegos. We have Matt and Brooke Moran with Evelyn May Moran. We have Ryan and Rebecca Hiddesdorf with Caroline Faith Hiddesdorf. Amen. Amen. And last but certainly not least, we have Jame and Rachel Novak with Lucille Grace Novak. Congratulations to all these families. At this time, Pastor Peter's going to come. Will you open your mind and heart for all the awesome things that God's going to do with all these beautiful and precious babies? Amen.
Good morning. I love baby dedications. That's why I keep having kids. Just kidding, I'm done. No, but it's so awesome. It's such a reminder, I think, as a parent, you come and you dedicate your child. But as a parent who's hopefully done dedicating children, it's a reminder that, wow, I do this. I have to keep doing this. And so even though you're sitting here and you might not be one of those 7 families that just got introduced, this is still a chance for you to either dedicate your children or to dedicate yourself. And so if we look at it a little bit differently, then it's not something we're just a casual service for 7 people. 7 little infants, but it's a service for me. And when I started changing my mind about how I viewed baby dedication services, it became one of the most important services for me in my life. So, dedication, like Ben said, it's a time for parents to commit their children back to Jesus, realizing that we're just stewards of his blessings in our lives. We're also committing to raising our children in the ways of Christ. And lastly, we're dedicating ourselves to this task. If I could have the families, if you could stand, we're going to start right into the dedication portion here this morning, the families. Just the families with the childs for now, we'll start with that. If you would like, if you're comfortable coming up to the front and bring your child up to the front with your family host that's with you, we'll come on up. You can keep holding your baby for now. Now, we got a couple different areas. If you guys, Jerry and Lindsay, if you guys could move on this side over here. We got a very large family with two getting dedicated here. We got to go fast. Ryan's arms are about to fall off. I've been there. Okay, so we have the seven families, right? And then if you were asked to be and Brother Cheston, you can come right up here and stand in front of them. If you were asked to be a family to support them, if they invited you here to support them, and you're comfortable, I know it's COVID. I know this is maybe not something you're comfortable with. Maybe you are, but if you're willing and able, and you would like to come up, you can walk up behind them as well as a show of support. If not, you're fully welcome to stay in your seat. To all the parents, family members, and friends gathered here in support today, I just want to say, let this child be a reminder that we are always in need of God's love and His presence. Your family and friends, you're going to have a big impact on this child. And when this child runs into your arms and wants you to carry them, remind yourself that we can always run into the arms of God. Fathers, those standing up here and everybody else, fathers, the relationship between a dad and his child is very special. Be a leader and guide to them, but not through dictatorship, but through setting an example and serving your children. Men, never let your responsibilities as a man get in the way of your God-given mandate of being a father. Mom, God has designed you uniquely to be the caregiver to your children. They will come to you when they were in need and when they're not in need. The love a mother can show to her children is incomparable. But never let your caregiving get in the way of your own relationship with your own Heavenly Father. Parents, you are the example your children see more than any other person for the first chunk of their life. You create the normal that will begin to shape who they are and what they believe. So set the example in your marriage, in your responsibilities, in your walk with God. Show them how to live life. I'm going to ask you some questions now. And parents, if it's your intention to pledge as such, just say we do. So we'll do the parents first, and then we'll ask the church and the family, and then we'll hand the baby over in just a minute. Parents, do you now present your child before God in solemn dedication? Do you promise to instruct this child in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer and to guide them in the development of Christ-like character? Do you promise to try to the best of your ability to shape the home life of this child, both by family devotion and by your words and your example, that they themselves will grow in personal relationship with Jesus and will pursue the biblical experience of salvation through repentance, baptism, and infilling of the Holy Ghost? Church family. Now, some of you are already standing, but if the rest of the church could stand here for just a minute. We're all part of this. We're all part of this. My kids are impacted by so many different people in this church. And so we're all a part of this. So as I ask these questions, if you will accept this charge, both immediate family and those the supportive friends and family around and you in the church, please say we will. You will do it. Good. Okay, awesome. Will you do all that you can to provide and support a place of instruction and community where this child and these parents may hear godly wisdom? Will you covenant together as a family to set an example by your lives and to maintain an atmosphere which will inspire these children to desire to live for God? Will you do as God leads you and pray for these families? Parents, if it's your intent today to dedicate your child, and if you're comfortable, given the environment we're in, passing your child to the minister, to the family host that's in front of you, I ask that you do that now and place them in the hands of this minister. This is symbolic of putting them into the hands of God. And now, Brother Ben, we're going to have Brother Ben come up and pray for the families and for the babies. Brother Ben.
Created them, God,
as of old you said you knew your prophet in the mother's womb, and God, so you know and created these children for your purpose, God. Be with them, watch over their parents, guide them and lead them, God. Let them train them in the way that they should go, Father. Provide for them, God, and let them be all you called and created them to be. Father, thank you for each and every one of these precious children. Thank you for these precious parents, God. Wash over them, God. And thank you for all you're going to do in their lives, God, and all the great things they'll do for your kingdom. Have your way in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to have the ministers pass the babies back to the parents. And we're going to begin to pray for all the extended family, because as you know, babies have parents that raise them, but there's a lot of other people involved in the raising of babies. Like Pastor Peter said, Isaiah has been influenced by so many people in his church, so we're going to pray for the extended family and the church family. Let us go to the Lord in prayer again. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all those that you've placed around these children, God, to help guide them and mold them and shape them in all that you called and created them to be. God, be with them. Watch over them. Give them your wisdom and your instruction, God. Let them be good counsel, God. Let them be good instructors, God. Let them be good stewards of the gift that you have bestowed upon us, O Father. Let us not take our duties for granted, O God, but let them raise them and charge them in the admonition of you, O God, that they might know your word, God, that they might hide it in your heart, God, that they might learn no bad practices, oh God, but they might give all glory and honor and praise to you. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as much as you have promised before God and this congregation to dedicate your child to God and yourselves to the task of raising them for Christ, I charge you to address yourselves faithfully to the sacred obligation with wisdom and patience and devotion. May God bless you in all your efforts. You can have a seat if you'd like. After the service, you will have some areas in the back that you can take some family photos of you with your child or with your family. Or I know some are visiting from out of town. It's so great to see that. And we even have people that will help you take those photos. It's awesome. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Peter Sandin. I'm the family pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church. I'm very blessed for so many thousands of reasons, but the few I'll name right now is, number one, my wife, who's sitting in the back right there. She's Casey. Thank you. And I have three children here today. One is on a play date with her grandma, but we have Evelyn and Mila and Jack are all here, and I am blessed to have them, and Sophie is my oldest. So, like I said, I'm the family pastor. I have my wife, and we have our four children. And I don't know if that is a good thing or a bad thing. I haven't figured that out yet. But it's made me constantly want to learn. I'm constantly trying to, like, how do I do better, right? And so I want to talk about a little bit like that today, something like that. So let me ask you a question. For those of you that are dedicating your children, how many of you, is this your first child? One, two, three. Okay, perfect, perfect. So we got three. Oh, four. Four out of seven. Okay, this is good. Okay, and some of you already have multiple children. So today I want to share something with you that will hopefully make things easier for you as a parent. I want to clarify some ideas out there and prepare you for some thoughts you will either have or are already having. If you have more than one kid, you're definitely already having them. If you just started, you probably are starting to have them. I want to help people with children, but I also want to help those of you without children. Whether you're dedicating children today, or you have children and you're not dedicating, or you have no children and you have no plans to have children. Whatever category you fall in, I believe God has a lesson for us all, if we're listening. As somebody who's always trying to improve, which I think is a good thing, always trying to do better, improve, you know, what can I do next, and failing a lot, I would say, when it came to parenting, that was the natural progression for me. It was like, now I'm parenting, everything's fine, and it's like, oh no. Like, how do I get this? How do I do this? How do I get better at this? I'm always thinking, I'm always worried. My wife and I are constantly talking about wondering, are we messing up our children? Come on, just, you can, if you don't want to raise your hand, do it in your brain. How many people have wondered that? Am I messing up my child? Right? And we're constantly like, oh, we got to, you know what? We got to do this discipline. And then next week, nope, we got to do this discipline. Nope, this was the right discipline. Nope, you know what? This is how we train and instruct. No, that's not the way. Let's do, right? And we're constantly like, how to, you know, and I like to think that as we go on with our lives, we're just gradually refining things a little bit. And we're getting a little bit better and better. I'm trying not to tell myself that it's horribly inefficient to keep changing my mind, right? And I think about all the work and the effort and the things we do as we're trying to improve and trying to help our children, because I'm so concerned that I'm going to mess them up, and I'm so hopeful that I can help them. My wife and I can help them to become this great person, right? That's what we can do. I've watched my children, and I've been able to see my own failures at work in them. The same things that I struggle with, I'm seeing in an 8-year-old. That's funny and a little bit like heavy at the same time. I've seen myself try so hard to do right but still overreact to them or not show grace. I've seen myself choose selfishness over love and negativity over joy. In these moments where I try so hard to do the right thing and be the right person and teach them the right thing, I end up still failing, which is so frustrating, maybe just for me. But because of my relationship with God and my belief in the Bible and my belief that the Bible is God's word that can speak to me and help me through different areas of life, and because Casey and I, my wife, we say, let's go to the Bible. What does the Bible have to say? And so we started thinking, how do we not mess up our children? So I'm going to read through a bunch of verses fast here. You don't have to write all these down. Just here we go. So we start looking through the verses. And you can Google this. Don't Google how not to mess up your children. I have no idea what you're going to find there. But if you Google like Bible and children, you'll get a bunch of these verses. That's all I did for these. There's no heavy intellectual stuff here. Okay, Proverbs 13:24. The one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. Okay, so discipline diligently. Note, got that. We'll do that. Proverbs 22:6. Teach a youth about the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart. Okay, teach. Discipline, teach. Got it. Proverbs 1:8-9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching. So I got to instruct, and I got to teach, and I got to discipline, and I got to teach. Okay, hey, little side note here. It's talking mothers and fathers. Men, it's not your wife's job to do this. Women, it's not your husband's job to do this. We both do this. Okay, sorry. I thought I was going to go fast. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son, and it will bring you peace of mind and give you delight. Now, as a reminder to everybody, back when they wrote this, it was just easier to write son than son and daughter, so it applies to everybody here because I have 3 girls. So I have to remind them of that. So discipline, another time we hear discipline. Psalms 127:3-5, sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Happy is the man who has filled his quiver with them. I don't know if this guy had kids. No, I'm just kidding. Such men will never be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the city gate. So it's like we can impact them. We have an opportunity. They're like arrows. We can send them and actually have them go and do stuff. Okay, that's a little more encouraging. Psalm 78:1-7 says, we must not hide them from our children, but we must tell a future generation the praises of the Lord, his might and his wonderful works he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works but keep his commandments. Okay, teach my children, tell a future generation. They need to have confidence in God. They got to keep his commandments. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay, more training, more instruction. We're starting to see a theme here, right? There are a lot of verses on what to do. Just train, instruct, and discipline, and teach, and you're good. Super easy. Barely an inconvenience. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8 says, and if, as a reminder, this is Deuteronomy, and later on when Jesus comes to the earth and they ask him, what's the most important thing you could do? This is one of the ones he says here. He goes, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So he's saying, like, okay, this is important. Love the Lord your God. Now just talk about it when you're at dinner and talk about it when you're after dinner and put it on your doorpost. Put a sign on your wall so your kids can know. It's like, this is a lot of stuff. It's almost like I shouldn't have looked, right? Because now there's more things. It's like, okay, I have the one thing I found out is I am definitely messing up my children after reading all those verses. And they're all great verses. And they're verses that I hope that you would normally hear in a baby dedication at some point. Verses giving you advice on how to be good parents per the Bible. These are the verses I should be telling you to do, and your children will be great and awesome and God-fearing and leaders in the future. That's what I should be preaching. That's what I should be telling you today. But I'm not. Because the verse that continues to haunt me, the verse that continues to make me think more and more and more about my parenting is in Matthew. And the disciples are asking Jesus, who can be saved? Who can be saved? And Jesus looks up at them and says, with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And Peter goes, but God, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. We literally have nothing. Like, it's just us in this robe and, you know, this is it. So what will there be for us? And Jesus said to him, I assure you that in the messianic age, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And here's the verse that I want to focus on today. And Jesus said, and everyone who has left houses, brothers or sisters, father or mother, children or fields because of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. This is quoted in Mark. It was quoted in Luke because those all tell similar stories from different perspectives. So it's the same story. It didn't happen three times. And when I started to look at this, for those of you that maybe you don't get into reading the Bible as much, and that's okay. It was originally written in Hebrew and Greek, right? And so if you look at, so when it says everyone who's left houses, in the King James it says anybody who's forsaken. Like that sounds so much more like easy. But it's, when you look at that, what it means, so when it says anyone who's left houses, it means to leave, to go away from, to depart from anyone. But this is the one, when it comes to that verse, it specifically means to depart from one and leave him to himself. Wait. So Jesus is telling me in these eight verses I read above to train and instruct and all this, but then he says, oh, if you want to inherit eternal life, parents, you have to leave your children. This verse, in light of the other one, seems very, very counterintuitive. I'm supposed to train up my child, teach my child, instruct my child, discipline my child, and if I do these things, they will be healthy, happy, and wise, and fear God. But then Jesus comes along and says, if I don't leave them, if I don't abandon them, so all mutual claims are abandoned. That's the other part of this. If I don't forsake them and leave them to themselves, I cannot be saved. You can see now why I focus on this verse a lot more. This verse just doesn't fit with the rest of the verses. I see other occasions in the Bible, though, where a person did something similar. We've heard the story of Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham, before he had Isaac, before they were even pregnant, he was asked to leave his homeland. God said, I have a promise for you. Leave your family. Leave your relatives. Leave your home. And he did it. And then he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac on an altar, like a big rock pillar thing, like literally kill his son. God said, do this. And then he didn't have to. God stopped him. But he was asked to essentially abandon all mutual claims on that child, who was his only child. And we hear the story of Hannah, who prayed at the temple and gave Samuel back to God physically. She physically left him with the priest in the temple. So why would God be asking us to leave or go away from our children? Well, this morning I want to talk to you just for a little bit on learning to leave. Learning to leave. Why would God be asking us to leave or go away from our children? Well, could it be because they're a distraction from our relationship with God? Probably not. Because he's told us to have children. He told us to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He told us that they're like a quiver full of arrows. So he clearly is not saying that children are a distraction. Or maybe he's saying that all of our work and our efforts to parent, that is what is distracting us from our relationship with God. Maybe it is my books and my blogs and my podcasts and my articles and my talking to others. Maybe that is all that stuff I'm doing to ensure that I'm doing enough and that I'm not ruining my children. But in fact, I lose track of the fact that I'm no longer depending on God in my life. So it's not my children that are a distraction because they're an inheritance from the Lord. It's my personal efforts that become a distraction. My worries of fears of who they're going to be and what they're going to be and all the stuff I do to try to make them great kids. Could God be telling us to leave our way of parenting? Could he be asking us to focus on him and he will work it out with our children? Because it's really easy to come up here and say, here, I dedicate my child, but then hold on to every other part of it as we grow with that child. It's easy to sit here and hand your child to the baby. It looks good on camera. It's going to go well. I've got some great pictures of our dedications. They're awesome. We love going back to them. But it doesn't mean anything if moving on, I'm not actually getting closer to God myself. It's interesting that he puts it in light of eternity. That puts it even a little bit deeper for me, because then he's saying, if you are focusing so much on your parenting that you lose me, you're losing eternity. And that's more important than anything, because Jesus is going to come back and I have to be ready. And if I'm so busy parenting that I forget to have my relationship with God, then my child won't matter anyway. When we do this, when we focus on, you know, the things we want to do and our parenting, I'm going to keep referencing that to fill in a whole bunch of things. When we focus on this, we're essentially saying, God, I don't trust you. I trust you enough to give my baby to the minister on Sunday morning, but I don't trust you to actually work it out on a daily basis. I will take care of it, and I will come to you when I need help. Or maybe we're saying, I need to do these things to feel better about myself. But God's telling us something different. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, very common verse, you've probably heard it before, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right paths. Oh, he will guide me on the right paths. Paths, interesting. Don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and this will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Don't despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and don't loathe his discipline, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father the son he delights in. So he's saying if we trust in the Lord and lean not in our own understanding, the wisdom and the guidance of what to do will come from him. He's saying if we put him first and if we spend time in prayer and we spend time in reading God's word and meditating on what God has for our life, the guidance and the teaching and the training and the instruction comes from him. That's why I believe, I can't prove it, that's why I believe we have all these verses about teach, instruct, train, blah, 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 right? All this stuff. But it never gives me how. It never gives me how. But if I'm trusting in God, if I'm getting close to God and saying, God, I want to know you. I want to be close to you. And I'm focusing on my relationship with God as kind of the person between me and my child. That will flow through to my child. Parents, let's not get so lost in parenting that we forget to stay close to God. That we let our relationship with God become less of a priority than our relationship. Sorry, that we let our relationship with God become less of a priority than our need to parent. Let's not focus if we're doing it right or worried if our children are going to turn out right. Let's focus on God. For myself, let's take time each day to read God's word. Oh, your kids can be there when you do, just so you know. Let's take time each day to pray. They could be there for that too, or you could pray together as a family. Let's take time each day to meditate on what God's saying for us. You can't do that when you're just covered with all kinds of different voices in your life. The voice we need to be hearing is the voice of God. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus is speaking and he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. So when we have God's Spirit living inside of us, he will show us what to do. But he won't show us what to do if we're not constantly in touch with God on a daily basis. But Peter, I can't afford to take 10 to 15 minutes to do this. I can't spend time focusing on God. I think you can't afford not to. I think you can't afford not to. And if you were honest with yourself, we could probably work a little bit out of our phone. It's a little bit crazy sometimes if you pull up your phone. I have an iPhone and look at your usage. There's 15 minutes in there. I'll tell you that right now. For me, I wasn't talking about you guys. I'm just looking at my usage. There's 15 minutes in there. My wife and I, by ourselves, cannot protect or ensure my children are trained, instructed, taught, and disciplined so that they grow up healthy and fearing God. We can't do that by ourselves. Now you might be looking around and saying, hey, there's some really good families and parents out there that maybe don't believe in God. And look, things are working out for them. Well, there are some principles in place that they're probably following. But at the same time, if you've ever come to me for counseling, the first thing I will tell you is I do not look at other people. I do not know their story. I do not know where they are from. I do not know what's actually really happening there. I worry about my life. I worry about my family's life because Brother Calvin's life does not impact my life in that way. I don't know what you're doing or how you're doing it. I've got to focus on God for me. That's how we have to look at it. I'm getting ready to wind down here, but so the musicians, they can come up here. I talked to my dad when I first, I don't know, we were two children in. I talked to my dad right after we had Evelyn. And I said, Dad, were you ever nervous that you were going to mess us up? Now, for those of you that don't know me and don't know my family, I'd like to think my sisters and I turned out pretty good. Okay? We've got a lot of failures. Well, no, that's not why I said that. You're not supposed to clap to that. We have our failures. If you were to get behind the scenes here, you'd see a lot of issues. between me and my sisters and my family. That's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that we're horrible beings. I'm saying that when I asked my dad that, I was like, hey, we turn out pretty normal. We're okay. Were you ever worried about that? And my dad said, no. I'm like, what in the world? What am I doing wrong? Once again, right? I just keep hearing these voices like you're doing it wrong, right? And I said, Dad, you weren't nervous? He goes, no, not at all. He said, because I pray for you children every single day. And every single day I say, God, they're your kids. You have to do something with them. And he said, he gave me this verse. And I know that him and I have taken it just slightly out of context, but I think it applies so much. In 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul's talking and he says, for this reason I have suffered these things. He's not talking about parenting there. I've suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. Paul's not talking about a child here, but we're going to use it. In this case, when he uses the word keep, it means to remain safe and to protect and to preserve until the time comes. What time comes? I don't know. God's time. When it says commit, it's a thing consigned to one's faithful keeping, consciously delivered. So when you committed your children to God this morning, you were committing and saying, God, I believe you're able to keep that which I've committed to you. And so I'm going to focus on you, and I'm going to focus on being close to you, and I'm going to let my parenting flow from that. Instead of saying, I'm going to focus on my parenting and turn to you when I need help, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Committing our children may mean focusing on God for ourselves and trusting his work in us will come through our children. Because if we're closer to God and his spirit is inside of us, then all the things that are God's are ours. All the fruits that are God's are in us. If God is in me and God is working in me, then I'm going to have, as Galatians 5:22 says, then I'm going to have love. It's just going to happen. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have patience. I'm going to have kindness. I'm going to have goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. What if I started this message differently and said, I've got a way to get you love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And I said, how about we go there? Like, yeah, that'll help me not mess up my kids, right? That's what I'd be saying if I was sitting out there. Yeah, I want those. That'll help me now. You want those? Focus on God. Focus on God over parenting. And then those things will be present in our lives. So maybe you're asking, where's the balance then, Peter? You're essentially telling me not to talk to my kids. Don't instruct your kids, Derek. Don't teach. Don't discipline. Life just got not easier, right? Where's the balance between my work and God's work? Well, I got to tell you, it's hard to use the word balance when Jesus specifically told us to leave our children. It's really hard to use the word balance when we are told to leave our parenting. But I'm going to attempt. Number one, focus on God first. Seek God first. Pastor Roy said it on Wednesday night. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you know what all these things they are that are mentioned in the verse? All of them. Whatever you want. That's what you want. You want parenting to be one of those things? Then seek God first, and parenting will be added. You want to work less at work? That'll be added, but seek God first. You want friends around you and friendly relationships? That'll be added, but seek God first. In Psalms 127, 1 through 2, it says this, and this is before one of those other verses I read about instructing and training your children. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves. It's in vain, parents. It's in vain when all I focus on is my parenting and trying to do it right. But when God builds the house, that's when things change. That's when the instructing and the training and the disciplining happens in my home. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen the growth that has happened in my children. Not because my wife and I found the best blog. So don't ask me after service. I don't have a book. I don't have a blog. I just have things that come to my mind in prayer. I have things where my wife and I are talking and struggling with it. We say, maybe this is it. And I look back and I'm like, God gave us that thought. So number one, focus on God and seek Him first. Number two, remember we're talking, how do we balance this? Number two, be present with your children on a daily basis and do your best to train, teach, and instruct and discipline them, like the verses say. You still got to try those things, but God's going to lead you. And when things go bad, continue to focus on God and seek Him first. And when things go good, continue to focus on God and seek Him first. Either way, commit them to God by committing yourself to God this morning. Committing yourself to a relationship with Him. It's okay to have a plan, to try to teach and train and instruct. But if we're not close to God, it won't matter. That's why David says in Psalms 1, he said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. His delight is in God's word. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And when he does those things, he will be like a tree. Look at Sister Martha, where are you at? Sister Martha, look at all these people that know this verse. I saw you quote it. He will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that's being fed by something else, that's being fed by not a blog or a magazine or an article, that's being fed not by this person, this friend of yours that thinks they have it all together. It's being fed by the rivers of life. And guess what happens? It brings forth fruit in its season. It happens naturally, not because the tree is working really hard to get that fruit out, but because it happens naturally, because it's planted by the rivers of water. But it takes it further. It says, its leaf will not wither. And whatsoever, Brother Claude, what does whatsoever mean? Everything about it, whatsoever they do will prosper. Everything. It all flows out of my relationship with God. It all flows out of my prayer. It all flows out of my reading God's word. Parents, we can do it with God guiding us. I want to ask you all to stand this morning. Today is the day you have dedicated your child to God. But now is the time to dedicate yourself to God. Dedicate yourself to a renewed focus on your relationship with Him. This doesn't just apply to these seven families anymore. God's speaking to all of us here about our dedication and the prosper that whatsoever in our lives needs to be worked on. It's not just, yes, families, your children, that will work. But it's everything else that's in your life. Your anxieties, your depressions, your shame, your fear. Whatever it is, God says, I can work through that if you'll focus on me. But parents, if you do this, you won't have to worry about how your kids will turn out. That's God's responsibility, because you've committed it to Him, and you know, and you will quote to Him every day that He is able to keep that which we commit to Him until that day. Trusting in His word that He will do a work in you. Don't worry about all the teaching and instructing and discipling. God can teach you that. Focus on God. Don't focus on your works or efforts or doing the right thing. Focus on God. We have an area up at the front of the building here. This is kind of like I tell my kids this is Jesus' special place just so that they don't come up here. But we refer to it as an altar. And it symbolizes the altars that you see in the Bible. A place where people came and made a sacrifice or made a commitment. Right? This is what happened. All those stories I mentioned, Abraham built an altar. Hannah built an altar because it was important for them. Today is your chance to come to the front if you're willing, if you're able to, and leave your families, leave your houses, leave your children, leave your jobs, leave your idea of parenting, and focus on God. This is your morning. This morning is your opportunity to recommit yourself to God and trust that He is able to keep that which we commit to Him until the day, whatever it is, comes to fruition. If you'd like to come and pray up front, I welcome you to do so. Come as a family. Come as a couple. Bring your child if you want. If you'd like to have a moment of silence of prayer at your seat, please take advantage of this time and reflect on what God is speaking to you in your heart. If this is your first time in a long time that you are hearing God speak to you, maybe you're feeling emotional. Maybe there's something in it. That's not me. That's not me, the guy with the tie saying something. This is God speaking into your heart. And if He's speaking into you just a small way and you want somebody to pray with you, come on up here. Somebody can pray with you. If you want to just pray by yourself, you can do that. If you're visiting with one of these families and you'd like to pray or ask the question, there's a host minister couple here that can help you. God has great and awesome things for your life, but you may have to leave the things you think are valuable in His hands to get them.
Hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. I have in these hands and multiply, God. Set me on fire. Here I am, God. I'm
We wanted to just take one last chance to thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to Calvary Gospel Church, for supporting the families, whether you're a visitor or you come here a lot. Thank you for supporting the families. There's going to be some opportunities. You can take pictures in here. You can take pictures out there. If you're not part of the family, be, like he said, no photobombing, just a joke there. But be cognizant of the fact that there's people out there taking photos. And once again, we just thank you for being here. God bless you.
God.